B-Pod Studios.
Stay with us and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of RBC Wealth Management and Academy Sports and Outdoors. And now, here's your host, a man who has both casual and formal golf shoes, Charlie Nance.
Welcome back. Once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at CLT underscore golf guy. And today on the show, nothing but great takes and predictions for the upcoming golf season from Ron. Ron Cyrak of RonCyrak.com, a past recipient of the PGA's Lifetime Achievement Award in Journalism. Ron Mintz of Fansided.com, and Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer. And we begin with Ron Cyrak. Ron, last year, question number one was over-under major appearances by Tiger Woods, and I set the number at 1.5. This year, I'm going to modify it a little bit. Over-under tournament wins by Tiger Woods, and I'm going to keep the number at 1.5.
I'll take the over on that. I think you'll get the 2.
Now, in years past, when discussing someone like Phil, as he was aging, it was I remember getting a discussion last year with people about, well, does Phil need to win early because he'll run out of gas later in the season? Is that a prerequisite for Tiger? If he's going to win, is he going to win early, or does it not matter as much?
I do think it matters because I think that while that was a really good win for him at the Tour Championship, to finally, after 5 years, get that off his back. It's going to be a grind out there, and the wins aren't going to come as easily as they did in the past because there's a lot of other talent out there, and he's going to be 43 years old. So I do think a win early. I want to say that I still feel, and I think I said this to you last year, I think his best chance of ever winning a major championship again is the British Open.
Really? Even though Royal Portrush is sort of a wild card?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of those golf courses he can play without the driver, you know, and it'll depend on what the weather conditions are like and how things are set up. But remember, he won at Royal Liverpool and he hit one driver in 72 holes there, and that's the club that's gotten him into a fair amount of trouble. So if he can keep that in the bag, I think it gives him a better chance. They've just made Augusta so much longer now that he's got to hit driver more often there than he used to.
This is almost a sucker bet question, but I like it anyway. More likely to happen, Rory and or Spieth complete the career Grand Slam this year, or neither ever completes it?
Oh, I think it's more likely that one of them's going to do it. You know, Rory McIlroy, when he has his A game, is the best player in the world. And his problem is he can't figure out how to win when he doesn't have his A game. And it's going to happen. He's going to show up at one of these majors. He's going to have the A game with a driver. He's going to be hitting at 348 in the center of the fairway all the time, and he's going to make some putts, and he'll win. And Spieth's just too good of a putter not to eventually close out the career Grand Slam for himself.
What's happened with his putting over the last year? Is it I hate to use this word, but is it a yips situation?
Well, it's certainly a confidence thing, but, you know, Spieth has always putted a little bit like Mickelson in that he's more deadly from 20 feet than he is from 6 feet.
Right.
He misses a fair amount of those short ones in there, but he's still one of the best mid-range to long putters that I've ever seen. And you know, if you think about Phil's career, that's how he always putted. He missed his fair share of short ones, but he would, you know, he'd roll in those 25-footers with greater regularity than most players.
Ron Cyrak with RonCyrak.com is our guest taking dead aim in our 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. Last year, I asked if Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka were more likely to build off their major championship success or have that chasing appearance fees hangover that we see all the time. Both had really good years. Brooks, a great one. Will both, either, or neither win a major this year?
I think one of them will. I'm not sure that both will, but boy... If they had 4 U.S. Opens a year, you'd certainly like Brooks' chances, that's for sure. But I do think that they are both the kind of guys that the big events get their attention and that they focus and concentrate a little bit harder on the majors than they do in the other events. You know, there's a few other players out there like that. Xander Schauffele is like that. You know, he plays well in the big tournaments, but one of them's going to win a major.
Let's talk about these major venues. Augusta, Bethpage Black for the PGA, Pebble for the U.S. Open, and we mentioned Royal Portrush. Do you think with these venues in play, we're more likely to see guys padding their major championship resumes, or are we more likely to see first-time winners?
You know, that's really one of the best rotations they've had in a long time. I think that we're going to see a mix. You know, I think that as I said, I think Spieth, McIlroy, Thomas, Koepka, one or two of them's going to win majors out there. But we're going to see other names pop into the picture too. They're very, very different courses. I think of all of them that Bethpage Black's probably the most difficult. But it's going to be a fascinating test out there. And if you look at it, Tiger, had that incredible performance at Pebble Beach in 2000, and was right there and had a chance to win in 2010 and let it get away from him on Sunday. But he's going back to a place that he's got real good memories.
Those first three all have good Tiger memories.
Yep.
Of those three, you mentioned Augusta too. If Tiger was going to win a major this year, I would think it would be in one of the first three venues. Which do you think he has the best shot? Is it still Portrush because of the British Open?
Yeah, I do. I think the British Open has they've added so much length to Augusta National that I think the British Open has become the major that you can win on finesse and local knowledge and experience.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in recent years with some of the veteran players, Darren Clark, and we had Tom Watson and Greg Norman make deep runs into the British. It used to be that the Masters was that tournament, but they've made it so long now that some of the older guys can't do that there. So, I do think it's the Open Championship course.
Ron, one of the most fascinating figures in the first part of this season has been Cameron Champ. Won his first tour event a few weeks ago. This guy kills it. However, in Mississippi, he averaged 324 off the tee, which was near top in the field. He was near last in the field in fairways hit, but third in greens hit. Question to you is this what's wrong with the game, or is this just where the game is and there's nothing you can do about it?
Well, I tell you, we saw the implications or the ramifications of the way PGA Tour courses are set up at the Ryder Cup. Bomb and gouge golf has become the way people play on the PGA Tour. Now, they don't have a whole lot of rough there. You can hit it 345, miss the fairway, be in a couple of inches of rough, and gouge it out with your wedge and put it on the green. And they got over to Paris, to that Ryder Cup course where Thomas Bjorn set it up with the deep fescue and the third cut of rough out there, and all of a sudden bomb and gouge didn't work there. So it's going to be interesting to see how the PGA Tour goes forward with this. It's not an issue for them until the entertainment value of the game is compromised, and there's two ways to do that, and that it could be compromised. One is that it just become entirely a drive and a wedge game, and that's not really interesting. And then the other thing is, we don't want to get to the point, or I don't want to get to the point, where some of our iconic venues could be obsoleted by technology, like St. Andrews, where there's already about six drivable par fours. We don't want to lose our versions, golf's versions of Wrigley Field and Fenway Park. That's when technology and the distance of people are hitting the golf ball becomes an issue.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Ryder Cup because, it's not like I thought that it was the nightmare at Wingfoot. I didn't. But it occurred to me as I was watching that could we solve a lot of the woes with everyone making courses obsolete and whatnot if we just raised the mower height a notch in the rough? If we made it not overly penal, but, a little penal if you missed the fairway, would that not make enough of a difference?
Well, I think it would make a difference, yes. They got to make it so that it's harder for you to put spin on the ball if you miss the fairway. I think if you look and check the stats over the years, the importance of putting the ball in the fairway has become less. And they need to make that, you can't take a huge part of the game. I mean, you hit your driver more in a round than any other club except the putter. And you can't make that become a lackadaisical skill out there. You gotta put the pressure on the players to put the ball in play.
Ron Cyrak with RonCyrak.com is our guest taking Dead Aim. 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. Bryson DeChambeau, Ricky Fowler, and John Rahm. These are the only three players currently in the top 10 in the world who have not won a major championship. Who will win one first? Will it be this year? And if I threw in number 11 in the mix, Tommy Fleetwood, would that change your mind?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think of all those names, John Rahm and Tommy Fleetwood, are going to win a major championship. And I think it's sooner rather than later. You know, Rahm was right there in the Masters on Sunday. And, you know, Fleetwood is just an enormously talented guy who gained a whole lot of confidence from his Ryder Cup experience out there. You know, I would rank those two guys, one and two, as my most likely ones to win a major this year among the four you mentioned.
I tell you, I'm now out of the business of doubting Bryson DeChambeau. I was ready to write him off as sort of a freak and a flash in the pan, but, I mean, good gosh almighty, in 7 months he's won as many times as Fowler has his whole career. I think we need to take this guy real serious.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to be critical of him. He's so quirky, you know, and it's easy to say, which I've said in the past, that I think he overthinks things, and I do. You know, I mean, I remember saying, before the Ryder Cup, I wanted to see him and Mickelson paired together because their alternate shot match would take 7 hours to play because they'd be talking so much about what decisions and trying to figure out who the smartest guy is out there. But all that said, yeah, what he's doing is working, no question about it.
Ron, this is one of my favorite annual questions here. Yes or no? Do you think the USGA finds a way to screw up the setup at Pebble and make themselves the story once again at the U.S. Open?
Of course. It's a tradition unlike any other.
Enough said. Moving right along. Billy Payne is going into the World Golf Hall of Fame primarily for his work in growing the game in the last 10 years as chairman of Augusta National. However, in that time, he made no significant changes to the golf course. He wasn't interested in that being part of his legacy. How much change and how fast do you think it happens with Chairman Ridley? And do you think there's any chance of rolling back some of the hootie changes that have been universally panned?
First off, let me say this about Billy. You can make a strong case that he's been the most influential single individual in golf over the last decade.
Yes.
The changes that he made were enormous. And you're absolutely right. It's in growing the game. I do think there's going to be rollbacks at Augusta. I think that Billy Payne wanted to do some of those. I think at the beginning he respectfully didn't want to make Hootie look bad. But I do think that you're going to see them make some. I mean, gosh, there's a bunch of holes there that I personally think used to be better. Number seven comes to mind to me.
I miss seven. Seven was a great short par four. I hate what they've done to 11. 15, I miss the mounds up on the right. I mean, there's a couple of things in there that I've always just kind of scratched my head about.
Well, I don't like number four when it plays 240 yards.
Yes.
You know? That's the most, you look, the greatest par threes in golf are holes where you have a scoring iron in your hand, like number 12 at Augusta. I mean, thank goodness they've never touched number 12 or number three. Those are two brilliant, brilliant holes, a short par four, a short par three. And they are risk-reward holes, you know. And you can make double bogey as easy as birdie on those holes, easier than birdie. But I do expect to see them put some of that fire. You know, one of the great things about the Masters, it used to be possible to shoot 30 on the back nine, and we saw it there. Now it's more like 32, 33. I think they'd like to get a little bit more of that risk-reward in there. Those two par fives in the back nine, even when guys are hitting short irons into them, they can make mistakes. And it's just good to have that excitement, I think.
Well, and the one thing I think that the Masters has going for it, and someone brought this up a few weeks ago, and I really agree with it, is, look, it's a great golf tournament. It is a major championship. But more than anything, the men of the Masters recognize that it is a television drama. And they are able to control their golf course and set it up so on Saturdays and Sundays that pretty much, with very few exceptions, it delivers year in, year out.
You know, not only have I been to more than 160 major championships in golf, I've done championships in baseball, basketball, football, I've done the Olympics. The Masters is the best run sporting event I've ever been to. They keep the players number one priority, they keep the patrons a number two priority, and they do make it all about the golf. And And, you know, their history of doing the right thing is pretty good. You know, I remember when they first started to tiger-proof the course, and I wrote something about that it was a knee-jerk reaction to how far Tiger's was hitting the golf ball. And I got down there on Wednesday, and Hootie takes me aside, takes me out the back door at the old media center under the staircase back there, and said to me, "Nothing we do here is ever knee-jerk." And I thought about that, and I said, well, you know, you're right.
Except maybe threatening to take your credential for life. Yeah. Question number 9, Ron. Is there a player that you have your eye on this year? I already mentioned Cameron Champ, but like a Sam Burns, an Austin Cook, some player that you got your eye on that you think is going to take that next step this year?
Oh, you know, I'm not looking there as much as I'm looking at the players who I think can take the step from being good players to great players. And we've already mentioned the two guys who are on my radar screen in that way, and that's John Rahm and Tommy Fleetwood. I think those are guys that can take the step in 2019 up to that next level where I think they can both make a run at being number one in the world.
Get you out of here on this 10th and final question, and you get a special one as opposed to everyone else because I respect what you think and what you have to say about the LPGA almost more than anyone in the world. In fact, as we record this, you're at the LPGA Championship in Florida. Your surprise or gut prediction about anything in the world of the LPGA this coming year?
Well, first off, I don't know if you saw some of the news that came out of here this week. This tournament, they've doubled the prize money for next year. From $2.5 million to $5 million, matching the Women's U.S. Open as the biggest purse in women's golf. It's only going to have a 60-person field, and first prize is going to be $1.5 million.
Wow!
30 years ago on November 13th, Curtis Strange became the first player in history to win $1 million on a tour, the PGA Tour. And now, 30 years later, next year a woman's going to have a chance to win $1.5 million in one day. I think this tour just continues to grow, and it continues to find sponsors who believe in them and believe that it's a good investment for their dollar to be involved in sports marketing involving women's golf.
He is a past recipient of the PGA's Lifetime Achievement Award in Journalism. From RonSyrac.com, the great Ron Syrac. And when we return, more hot takes and predictions as Ron Mintz of Fansided.com takes dead aim with 10 predictive questions presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We are Taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Ron Mintz is one of the nicest people in the game of golf and is the go-to golf guy at Fansided.com. Ron, last year this was question number 1, over under major appearances by Tiger Woods. I set the number at 1.5, and it's still amazing as I look back how many people took the under. This year I'm going to change it over under regular tournament wins by Tiger Woods, and again I'm going to set the number at 1.5.
I say over on the regular tournament wins. A year ago, you know, I didn't give him a chance to win anything, but he proved me wrong, and winning the tour championship showed me he can still win the big events. It's not a major, but it's a big deal, obviously. So I really think regular tour events over, although I don't think he'll win a major this year.
I like the way Ron Green Jr. put it when I had him on, I think, a week ago. He said that he didn't think we've seen yet the best of comeback Tiger. Now, not to say it's going to last a whole hell of a long time, but he doesn't think we've seen the best of it yet. And maybe we just got a taste of it towards the end of the year with the great finish of the Open Championship and the PGA and then the Tour Championship.
I agree totally. I mean, he's going to be 43 on December 30th, so he's going to start the year at 43. The only thing I was worried about with Tiger, his back never seemed to give him a problem, but he did not look like he was in good shape from a cardio standpoint. He would get exhausted. And Joey LaCava's caddy said that in all his preparation, he had been riding in a cart, and he wasn't walking the courses. And it took him a while to get his golf legs back. Great shape as far as working out in the gym, but he wasn't doing enough cardio. So hopefully in the offseason, he's worked on that, and he won't get fatigued. And I think that was why he probably didn't win more last year.
Fansided.com's golf guy Ron Mintz, our guest, taking dead aim. Let's move on to question number two. This is one of my favorite questions. This is sort of a great Vegas prop bet. More likely to happen, Rory and or Spieth complete the career Grand Slam this year, or neither ever completes it?
I think, despite the fact that neither one of them are really playing that great, especially Jordan right now, he's going through, I think, just mental issues with his putter. Anything inside 3 feet, he struggles. And you can just see in his body language, he's not committed to the putts. He's very insecure. But I think there's a chance that Rory could win the Masters this year. I mean, if you look at his record there, he's had five consecutive top 10 finishes. He tied for fifth last year, and it's just a course that he should have won on already. We know what's happened there in the past. He's a year away or into his marriage now, and I think that was a distraction this past year. He even admitted that he planned his schedule around places that his wife wanted to go to because she'd never went because she was going to be traveling with him the whole year. So he was really on his honeymoon while he was playing golf. I think this year he'll be more committed, especially dropping down to sixth in the world golf rankings. And so if he's ever going to win the Masters, I think this is the year. I'll go ahead and say I think this year Rory will do it, but not Spieth.
You know, we were talking about Spieth and Tiger earlier. I think the stat that came out a few weeks ago that's really telling is last year at this time, Tiger was ranked, 690-something in the world, and now he's ranked 13th, one spot ahead of Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, he didn't even play last week and moved up a spot.
Just crazy.
Yeah.
Ron, last year I asked if Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka were more likely to build off their major championship success or have that chasing appearance fees hangover that we see all the time. Both had really good years. Brooks had a great year. Will both, either, or neither win a major this year?
I'm really, really high on Brooks Koepka.
So you think he continues this? 3 out of 6 of his last starts, and you think he can continue?
I do. I actually think he's the best player in golf right now, even though he's not number one, he's number two right now. I'll tell you why. You know, he started out on the European Tour. He didn't come out like Jordan and Justin, get his PGA Tour card and get all those exemptions. He started out the hard way. He's used to the travel. He actually loves playing in Europe. He loves playing in Asia. So any off season or appearance fees, tournaments, he would have probably played in anyway. He's very confident. His game is solid. Justin, I'm just not sure where his head is, but I would not be surprised. And I expect Brooks to win a major this year. Which one, I don't know. But I think he'll be a factor in all four of them.
Fansided.com's golf guy, Ron Mintz, our guest taking dead aim, our 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season series. Number four, Augusta, Bethpage Black, Pebble Beach, Royal Portrush. Do you think these major championship venues are more likely to see players padding their major championship resumes or first-time winners?
I definitely think it'll be padding their resumes. These are courses that are so hard for a newcomer or first-timer to win on, although Lucas Glover did win the U.S. Open at Bethpage back in 2009. Of course, Tiger won there in 2002, so you have to wonder how he'll do there this year. And I think Phil finished second. Of course, that's the elusive career Grand Slam for Phil is the U.S. Open, but he'll be 49 this year. So I do think it'll be padding their resumes. And there's a name I'm going to throw out there for you. I think will win another major this year, and that's Francesco Molinari.
Really?
Who, Yes, I not bragging, but I had been researching him quite a bit, following him this past year. I predicted 2 weeks before the Open that he would win, even though Vegas had him at 50-1. But he'd been playing so well over in Europe and sort of flew under the radar. But he has a new coach. He has a new mental coach. He's changed his whole attitude about golf to where it's one stroke at a time. And he said his problem in the past was he would get a lead and start thinking about, you know, the 18th hole and winning, and it would slip away from him. And now he just looks at one shot at a time. He doesn't look back. He doesn't look forward.
I have thought several times this year what I wouldn't have given to have a crystal ball at this time last year and walked into, you know, a Ladbrokes in Europe or in Vegas and see, hey, what kind of odds you give me on Francesco Molinari winning a major championship and finishing in the top 10 and just seeing what kind of money I could have made last year?
Well, I have a follower who actually is a bookmaker in Vegas. I'm not sure which casino, but he texts me from time to time, and he actually bet on Molinari, so because he saw my post and said he laid down a considerable bet, so he was very happy. You know, I think I'm not a gambler, but I think these guys that do gamble, they don't really go with the favored people. They go with someone paying 50-1, so when the payout's bigger. But yeah, you're not the only one, but I think he's always been a solid player, but he didn't live up to his potential, and he's finally reaching it. So I think he'll win another one this year.
Ron, speaking of potential, Cameron Champ just won his first tour event. This guy kills it. However, while he was averaging 324 off the tee, he was nearly last in the field in fairways hit in his victory, but third in greens hit. Is this what's wrong with the game, or is this just where the game is and there's nothing we can do about it?
This is where the game is, and it's going to stay this way. They're not going to roll the ball back. They're not going to change the equipment. I mean, that horse has left the barn and way down the road. Brooks Koepka explained it perfectly. He said, fairways are overrated. And when I saw the headline of that in an interview he did, I thought, what's he talking about? And he explained it this way. He said, I would rather hit a driver 360, 380, and be in the woods 60, 70 yards from the green and hit it out with a wedge, then be in the fairway and have to hit a 5-iron into a green. And that's the way they play. Now, they know where the big misses are, where there's brush and stuff that they can't hit out of, but they also know where their woods are that they can get out of. And so that's the way they're playing. They don't get upset about hitting it in the woods. They just want to get close to the hole and use the wedge, so it's driver wedge, and that's what it's going to be, I'm afraid.
Fansided.com's golf guy, Ron Mintz, our guest taking dead aim. Question number 6 in our 10 predictive question series. Bryson DeChambeau and Ricky Fowler and John Rahm. Those are the only three players currently in the World Golf Rankings top 10 who have not won a major. Which one wins first? Will it be this year? And if I threw in number 11, Tommy Fleetwood, into the mix, does that change your mind?
It definitely changes my mind. I think out of all those four, Tommy Fleetwood is my favorite to win a major this year. He's ranked 10th in the world. Again, he's one of those players, you know, pops up from time to time, but he is solid. He's got a lot of international wins. Ricky Fowler will win a major. I have probably predicted him to win a major 10 different times, and I've quit doing it. But he's had 9 top 10s in 34 major tournaments. He's tied for second in the U.S. Open and the British, tied for second at the Masters. I mean, he's come so close. And people say he can't close. He can close. If you'll remember the Players' Championship a couple of years ago, he went 3 rounds or 6 holes with, or 5 holes with Kevin Kisner in sudden death. They had to play the water hole 3 times, and he and Kevin both were within 5-6 feet on every tee shot on the water hole, and Fowler made his birdie putt and Kisner just missed his.
Look, his first win here in Charlotte, he stared down Rory McIlroy to win.
Yeah. I don't know if he's, you know, sometimes, like you said, success gives these guys a false sense of security, but the money doesn't last forever. In Rory's case, I think that's been his problem. He signed a $200 million contract with TaylorMade and Nike, and so he's set for life. Yeah. He's admitted golf's not his number one priority anymore, although he wants to be number one in the world. But, yes, Fowler's going to win a major. I don't think it's this year. But Tommy Fleetwood is definitely going to win a major, and I think this could be the year. And Royal Portrush, I mean, there's not a lot of history there. I look back, and the only major I've seen, or the only Open I've seen, was back in the 50s. Now, they played the Senior Open there several times. Unless I missed something, there's not a lot of people familiar with the course.
No, it's sort of a wild card in that group. And I tell you who I am through underestimating and overlooking with his win in Vegas. Bryson DeChambeau is not just a weirdo. Bryson DeChambeau is a great, great professional golfer. And it's not going to surprise me if he wins a major this year. Nothing this guy does surprises me, because every time somebody talks bad about him or says something that they don't think he's legit, all he does is win. I think in the last 7 months, he's won as many times as Fowler has in his whole career.
He has. And he surprised me almost as much as Tiger did this past year. I thought his engineering or whatever he does out there with his approach. Brandel Chamblee said he's a disciple of The Golf Machine, which Brandel says is the worst book that's ever been written about golf, and he hates it. But it works for Bryson. And I was jokingly posting the other day, think how many tournaments he could have won if they'd let him use that compass this year. So, he wouldn't surprise me if he won. I still think, like Augusta, Ben Crenshaw says, on average, it takes 5 appearances at Augusta for you to have a realistic chance to win. Maybe not so much in the PGA and U.S. Open, but definitely at Augusta. But do I think he'll win a major? Oh, definitely. I think all 3 of them will, or all 4 of them will. John Rahm, I think he needs to get his temper more in control. That's his biggest handicap right now. And of course, Fowler, he just needs to pull the trigger and make it happen. So,
Ron Mintz, the golf guy with fansided.com, our guest, taking Dead Aim 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. This is one of my favorite annual questions. Yes or no, do you think the USGA finds a way to screw up the setup at Pebble Beach and make themselves the story once again at the U.S. Open?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. As long as Mike Davis is with the USGA, they're going to be the story. And, we could talk all day about him. I don't understand their philosophy, but they no matter how much criticism they get, they still stick to what their method, and I don't know what it is. It's a madness, really.
I think it was Kyle Porter with CBSSports.com that said, when I asked this question, it's not a question of if they're going to screw it up. The question is, what are they going to screw up?
Exactly. I mean, look at Chambers Bay. I mean, how many – I think it's the only major in history that – you played a hole one day and it was a par 4, and the next day they moved the tees and make it a par 5.
Yeah, just ludicrous.
That is not, I believe majors are sacred in golf. I hate to even think about when Tim Fincham wanted to make the Tour Championship, the Players Championship, a 5th major. I don't think there should ever be more than 4 majors on the PGA Tour or in men's golf. But yet, look what they did at Chambers Bay. That's never happened before, and I just hope it never happens again.
Ron, Billy Payne's going into the World Golf Hall of Fame, or the World Golf Hall of Fame, rather, primarily for his work in growing the game in the last 10 years as chairman at Augusta National. However, unlike chairman before him, he made no significant changes to the golf course. With Chairman Ridley coming in, a former U.S. amateur champion and a great player, how much change and how fast do you think it's going to occur? And do you think there's a possibility of rolling back some of the Hootie changes that everyone just universally hates?
I don't know if they're looking at that many changes. Now, we're going to see a change, and you live in Augusta. You know this hole better than I do, but they're changing the 5th hole. They're moving the
Yeah, that's box. Done. That's already been done. That is a change that's going to play much longer this year.
Yeah, they started digging dirt the day after the Masters was over with last year, and they're done with it. When that course was originally designed, It was sort of patterned after the road hole, the famous road hole. But it started causing backups, especially on Thursday and Friday, with players standing on the tee waiting for groups in front of them. So that's their explanation why they moved it across the road to spread the field out. But I think that's a great change. There were rumors about them buying property on number 13 to make it longer because, you know, it used to be very few people could get there in two, and now everybody does.
Well, yeah, now it's driver 7-iron. Everyone, I think, feels the same way about 13. It's not that we want it to be changed because it's such an iconic hole. It has such history. I think we all could play that hole in our mind if we haven't had the opportunity to play it in person. But I think we all realize that they're going to change it. It's just, it's a question of is this going to be the guy who does it, or is it going to be the guy after him? But eventually, somebody is going to mess with 13.
Well, there's two schools of thought. One is that, and the other one is, you know, they have bought, well, I don't know if they finished the deal with Augusta.
Oh, no, it's bought. It's done.
Is it bought? Okay, well, they refused one offer on you. But they're buying property all around there. They're trying, you know, there's only one house left on one road. And, again, you live in there, you know what street I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I do.
That hasn't sold, and it's a three-bedroom ranch house. It's a nice little house, but they've offered the guy $1 million, and he won't take it. So what have they done? They've planted these huge pine trees all around his property so you cannot see it from the course. They're trying to buy every piece of land within a mile of the club just for privacy reasons. And so they would have bought that property anyway. So that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to do anything anytime soon. Down the road, yeah, I think it's inevitable. They're going to have to make 13 back like it was, you know, make it more of a challenge, because that was the key of Amen Corner. Would you hit in the creek there? And how many of the old Masters do we watch where we see Curtis Strange hitting in the creek? And
those
people have lost the tournament there, but it's not a factor anymore. So I miss that part of the Masters. As far as Ridley goes, he has only said that he intends, like other chairmen before him, to maintain the integrity of the golf course. And you can read a lot into that. I think what that means is they're not going to let players overtake Augusta. They're going to always make Augusta a challenge, and they'll do whatever they have to do to keep it that way.
Ron, is there a player that you have your eye on, like a Cameron Champ, a Sam Burns, Austin Cook, that you think will take the next step this year?
Just in those three, I'm really high on Austin Cook, and probably a lot of that's because I've talked to his caddy, Kip Henley.
Kip loves him.
Oh, he does. And Kip is he's as honest as the day is long, almost to a fault. Even when he caddied for Vijay, which was, you know, one of the best bags on tour because he plays and wins a lot of money whether he wins or not, he was about to work Kip to death because he was practicing more and he was playing. And Kip walked away and was very vocal about it. So when he says Austin's a real deal, I believe him. And I look for him to have a breakout year of those three. Now, Sam Burns, yeah, Cameron Champ, how can you not ignore these guys? But I had a friend that's a European writer. It's been around for 50 years. And he says, you know, there's so much parody on tour right now. It's the flavor of the week. All these guys are winning. And then they'll win and you may not hear from them for a couple of years. So, but I think Austin is definitely here to stay, and he will be a factor.
Get you out of here on this. Ron Mintz is fansided.com's golf guy. Your surprise or gut prediction about anything in the world of golf in 2019?
Well, you know, I thought about this a lot. I don't like to deal in rumors, but I've been hearing rumors for 2 years now on two particular tournaments that will lose their spot on the PGA Tour schedule. Another one is under fire from their members, the club, because they don't want to host a PGA Tour event. You know, I don't know if most fans out there know what that does when your club hosts a PGA Tour event. It basically means you can't play it for 6 months. And especially the high-end country clubs, these guys are paying a lot of money to be members, and they want to play. So I'm not going to mention them because they're rumors, although, you know, like you said, where there's smoke, there's fire. But I wouldn't be surprised to see at least two events change venues announced this year, but change for 2020. But with that said, I think Tiger's going to be the big story this year. I do think he's going to win many times. It would not surprise me to see him win a major. I don't predict it, but I think he's going to be the big story, the main story, and that's good for the game of golf.
From Fansided.com, that's Ron Mintz. And up next, the third part of our Ron Triumvirate today, Ron Green Jr. taking dead aim at this upcoming season in the world of golf with his 10 predictive questions, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. We're taking that aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Ron Green Jr. is a longtime golf writer with both the Charlotte Observer and the Global Golf Post, and is someone whose answers to 10 predictive questions I suggest you pay close attention to. Last year, this was question number one. Over under major appearances by Tiger Woods, and the number was set at 1.5. This year, I'm going to alter it somewhat. Over under just regular tournament wins by Tiger Woods. And again, I'm going to set the number at 1.5.
Over.
So you think he will win two or more times this next year?
I do think so. I think we're just about to see. I don't think we've seen the best of the new Tiger yet.
I'm of the opinion of that as well. And I'm also of the opinion that when it does happen, it won't last long. Like, we're not in a 5-year run here. If we get one and a half, 2 years of it, that will be great, and that'll be the end of it. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I don't. I haven't envisioned it as a 5-year thing. I hope we get that, but I think he's the perfect example. Let's take it one tournament at a time, but I'm optimistic we're going to see some really special Tiger this year or next season.
Ron, what is more likely to happen? Rory and or Spieth complete the career Grand Slam this year, or neither ever completes it?
Neither ever completes it.
I think that's the bet. I mean, what, only four or five have done it in all these years of golf?
Yeah. So to narrow it down to this year or this coming year, that's a small window there.
Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, our guest taking dead aim, our annual 10 predictive questions for the 2019 season. Last year, I asked if Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka were more likely to build off of their major championship success or have that chasing appearance fees hangover that we see so often. Well, both of them had really good years. Brooks had a great year. Will both, either, or neither win a major this year?
Well, you know, there are only four majors.
Yes.
So that narrows it down. I think one of them will win a major. I would skew probably toward Justin Thomas, because as good as Brooks Koepka is, and he's number one in the world for a reason, I just think that, you know, he's won three of the last six he's played, I think. And, you know, at some point you can't win them all, although maybe you can win a lot of them. I would love to have either one of his chances, but I would give Justin Thomas the edge there.
All right, speaking of major championships, here are your venues this year. Augusta, Bethpage Black, Pebble Beach, and Royal Portrush. Now, do you think with these venues in play, we're more likely to see more players padding their major championship resumes, or more likely to see first-time winners?
Padding their resumes. And I say that knowing there's a lot of good players out there. I mean, a guy like Tony Finau or somebody could go win one. It wouldn't surprise anybody. But I just think, you know, a lot of guys have won some. I think when you look at Spieth and Rory and Tiger and Dustin Johnson, those guys, yeah, I think we'll have more repeat or you know, multiple major champions now than we'll have first-timers.
If Justin Thomas is to win a major this year, of those four venues, which do you think sets up best for him?
Augusta National. I think Justin Thomas has the game to play Augusta National. I think with he's emotional, which I like. And, I mean, Jordan Spieth is hugely emotional, too. I think with some seasoning, I think Justin Thomas is primed to win at Augusta.
Ron, as we're recording this, you're working on an article on Cameron Champ for the Global Golf Post. Just won his first tour event, and this guy kills it. However, while averaging 324 off the tee, he was near last in the field in fairways hit, but he was third in greens hit. Now, is this what's wrong with the game, or is this just where the game is and there's nothing that's going to be done about it?
I think it's where the game is. I don't think a whole lot's going to be done about it. I think the PGA Tour views it in some ways as a television show, and that people like to see him hit it long. Now, when you start talking about guys hitting it long, there's Dustin Johnson long, then there's Cameron Champ long. And he is, Sean Foley says it's like watching a guy run a 4.340 and just thinking, how in the world does somebody do it? And then suddenly a guy blows by him and runs a 4.1. He said that's sort of what Cameron Champ has done in terms of length. But, I mean, he's a guy who, and again, quoting Sean Foley, it's great if you can drive at 360, but if you hit your sand wedge 30 feet from the hole, it doesn't do you any good. And I think that's what Cameron Champ understands and the next part of what his evolution will be. But I think there will continue to be a great deal of talk about reining in golf balls and fixing distance and all stuff, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Isn't it a cheaper solution based on what we saw with the Ryder Cup in France? Rather than spending gazillions of dollars rolling back the golf ball and worrying about equipment, how about if we just raise the height of the lawnmower a little bit? And if you grow out the rough, it will keep people from bombing and gouging because they will be unable to do so.
Well, I think that, but I don't want it to be where they build the stick rough right off the fairway and it takes any skill or recovery element out of the game. Phil Mickelson has talked forever that the recovery shot is the most exciting shot in golf. Well, that's probably because Phil can hit more of them than most people. And they can be. I mean, I don't think most of the time, if a guy, drives at 325 down there and has a wedge out of the rough, most of the time on the PGA Tour, there's not a lot of drama to it. You know he's going to hit it on the green. How close is he going to hit it? Now, I think if you can find that right equation where, you're penalized for a big miss, you should be penalized a big penalty for a big miss. They hit it so far now that, I don't know how much defense you can play without just making it really, really tricked up. Now, it worked at the Ryder Cup. It's a different kind of golf course, and it's, the penalty was severe. But I don't know if people want to watch that kind of penalty being handed out every week when they're watching on television.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Champ's victory last week does not qualify him for Augusta, but it does qualify him for Kapalua, correct?
Yes.
So we will get to see him hitting down those hills at the Plantation course.
It might be, we might be giggling watching
some of it. I was going to say, this could be some must-watch television in January where Cameron Champ goes to Kapalua.
Yeah, it's not hard to hit it 320 off the tee on 17 and 18, those downhill holes out there. I've played it a couple times, and you can move. It just gets going, and there's nothing to stop it. But his goes so far before it lands, it's just, it will be some fun stuff to see.
I mean, I'm envisioning him playing the 18th at Kapalua, and if the winds are right, and if he hits it far enough out to the right, we could be looking at like driver 7-iron, driver 8-iron on a almost 700-yard par 5.
It will be worth keeping an eye on, yeah. I think that'll be one of the interesting early season things, getting out there and watching him see what he does. Of course, I mean, you go back and arguably the shot of the year, Dustin Johnson hit on, a 430-yard par 4?
Almost hold it, yeah.
Yeah, you can do it out there. Or let me rephrase it. They can do it out there.
Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer. Our guest taking Dead Aim, 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. We're up to number 6. Bryson DeChambeau, Ricky Fowler, John Rahm. Those are the only three players currently in the top 10 in the world who have not won a major. Who wins one first, and will it be this year? And would your answer change if I threw in number 11 in the mix, Tommy Fleetwood?
No, my answer would not change. Banking on what Butch Harmon says, I think Ricky is the one who wins first. I just think that he did not have a great year. Didn't win this year on the PGA Tour, but I mean, he plays well a lot. I think you know, I think you could obviously make a case for any of those guys. I mean, John Rahm, obviously, DeChambeau, I mean, he will equation it to death one of these years. And Fleetwood, I mean, Fleetwood, you know, but for Brooks Koepka, Shinnecock would have been differently. But I'm going to take Ricky Fowler. I'm still in his camp in this one.
See, I am too, and especially being a California kid, there's something about him playing at Pebble Beach that I like. I could be completely wrong and just two in the tank for a really nice guy. I don't know. Ron, one of my favorite annual questions here, yes or no, do you think the USGA finds a way to screw up the setup at Pebble and make themselves the story once again?
They've had enough practice at Pebble Beach that I think they're going to grow a lot of rough out there, rely on the June gloom and the fog and everything to soften the golf course to make it play a little longer. I think they get Pebble Beach right.
Question number 8. Billy Payne is going into the World Golf Hall of Fame for his work, essentially his work in growing the game in the last 10 years as chairman at Augusta National. However, unlike the previous chairman, he made no significant changes to the golf course. How much change and how fast do you think they occur with the new chairman, Fred Ridley? And do you think there's any chance of rolling back some of the hoodie changes that were so universally panned?
I think Fred Ridley will have more hands-on influence on the golf course. I think partly because Billy Payne was focused on other things. And obviously, his legacy is tied to the drive, chip, and putt. Expanding all the facilities down there, feeling like he sort of opened the doors to the world to Augusta National with the two big amateur events they created. And I think Fred, being the player he has been through his years, will take a very close look at the golf course. I mean, we'll already see a new fifth hole next
right.
year. That's already been done. So that part has been put in play. I think there will be changes. Will they ever take down the forest that was planted along the right side of the 11th hole? I hope they do, but I'm not holding my breath for that. And, you know, I hope they don't change the 13th hole. It may be inevitable, but I just would hate to think they have to go change that hole. But I think, you know, going all the way back to Bobby Jones and all that, the Augusta National is a golf course that's remains sort of a work in progress. They see it as a living, breathing thing, and they make adjustments, and I'm sure we will continue to see them.
I think I know your answer to this next question based on what I know you're working on right now. Is there a player that you kind of have your eye on, a Cameron Champ, a Sam Burns, an Austin Cook, that you think has a real chance to take that next step this year?
I think you named one of them right there. I think Sam Burns, he had some moments this year. I think he's a really, really good player, and I think he is Cameron Champ has the explosiveness and the power and is going to get a lot of people going over to watch him to see how far he hits it. I think Sam Burns might have the pedigree to just be one of those guys who sort of moves right in there and sort of like you're never surprised when you hear his name.
Get you out of here on this. Ron Green Jr. with the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer. Our 10 predictive questions for the upcoming golf season. Your surprise or gut prediction about anything in the world of golf this year?
Ooh, that's a big one. I'm finally going to figure it out.
This is the year.
Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. You know, a couple swing changes, you know, for a guy who gets to talk to the best teachers in the world and be around the best players in the world, you'd like to think once in a while some of it would rub off. So far, that's not happening.
From the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, that's my good friend Ron Green Jr. I hope you also enjoyed the takes from Ron Mintz of Fansided.com and Ron Cyrak of RonCyrak.com. A reminder, should you just be catching the last little bit of the show and wonder what all we've covered today, hey, no worries. Just subscribe to the Taking Dead Aim podcast at Apple Podcasts, and it will automatically download to the device of your choice most weeks, just minutes after this terrestrial radio version of the show finishes airing. Additionally, a great way to stay in the loop with us is to be a regular consumer of our Facebook page. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Currently featured there articles on that one great golf partner that we all have, the FCC's report card for the PGA Tour and some language this year, and the bizarre rules controversy that arose. Weather-wise, It's going to be soggy, but for the first time in I don't know how long, I can promise you, sunny for the whole weekend. So make some time to let this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart. And if you do put a peg in the ground, remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep it in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at @CLT_golfguy, and I'll see you right here next week, Taking Dead Aim, presented by the Charlotte office of RBC Wealth Management, located in the beautiful tree line of South Park and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.